The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why isn't Calvinism compatible with assurance of salvation? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We are taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. If you've got questions, you can reach us by sending us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Now, if you like the types of things that you hear on Grace in Focus, I hope you'll consider joining us for our National Bible Conference. We do this once a year, and it's a great time to get together and learn from some wonderful Bible teachers. You can go to faithalone.org, click on events, and find out all you need to know. You can even register right there on the site, and we truly hope to see you there. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right. Are you ready to talk about Calvinism?
Well, I guess so. I don't know. What do you have?
Yeah, it's a question from Chad. And Chad says, I hear Free Grace people say that Calvinistic teaching is not compatible with assurance of salvation that comes from believing Jesus' simple promise of eternal life. And I can definitely understand how they could conclude this with how the doctrine of election and perseverance of the saints is often presented. However, past preachers such as Spurgeon seem to couple the doctrine of election with such verses as Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God, making one's personal knowledge of his election a further assurance of salvation. Is Calvinism compatible with assurance of salvation?
Well, that's a good question, Chad. First of all, there are Calvinists who recognize the problem within Calvinism. For example, I think you interviewed David Engelsma. He talks about the fact that for many Calvinists from a Puritan bent, he calls it a gospel of doubt. And people are on an endless search for assurance. They never find it.
Yeah.
But he says that's not true, that the scriptures are clear. We can simply believe the promise of life, know we believe it, and we have everlasting life. R.T. Kendall, same thing. Michael Eaton, same thing.
Yeah.
So there are some Calvinists who recognize the problem and disagree and say that's not true Calvinism. However, many, if not the vast majority of Calvinists, do not believe that you can be certain that you have everlasting life that can never be lost.
Right.
They have a kind of a syllogism, and it goes something like, all who are truly born again persevere in faith and good works until death.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to persevere in faith and good works until death.
Right.
Therefore, I don't know for sure if I'm born again. Or another way they do it is, only those who persevere in faith and good works are going to make it into the kingdom. I'm seeing lots of good works in my life, and I seem to be on a trajectory toward perseverance.
Right.
Therefore, I'm probably saved.
Right. I probably have enough good works. Therefore, I probably will make it into the kingdom. But, of course, probably is not certainty. And you can be probably wrong, too.
Exactly.
So those are explicitly, you're looking towards your works. You're looking towards your continuous faith, be born again. But even the verse that Chad cites, Romans 8:16. He's citing this as evidence from Spurgeon that Calvinists can be assured of their salvation, I think would probably have the opposite effect. Here's what the verse says. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Let's say it is about assurance. Let's say, for argument's sake, this was about the Holy Spirit telling you that, you're really born again. How would you know that the Spirit is saying that? Is it an experience? Is it a feeling you have? Is it some type of thought? How could you have assurance based on that? I would say it would be in the same category as looking to your works or to your continuous faith for salvation.
I'll come back to what Romans 8:16 actually means, but in answer to your question, it would be a feeling you're looking for.
Yeah.
I feel something that tells me that I'm a child of God.
Unless, even if it was a voice, even if it was an audible voice.
Well, that's worse.
You know, like,
that's
you
worse.
Are a child of God.
Right. I had a woman in my first church, the only church I've ever been the quote-unquote senior pastor of, and she told me that for a short time in her Christian life, she started listening for the voice of God, because Christian friends had said, God will speak to you when you pray. So don't just talk to God. Pause and listen for his voice.
Yeah.
And she said, I started listening for his voice, and she said, I started hearing all these voices.
Mm.
And she said, after a while, I couldn't tune them out.
Oh, boy.
And she said, I thought I was going nuts. And so she said, I finally prayed and said, God, I'm not listening for any more voices. I'm going to take your word as the way you communicate with me. And they stopped.
Wow.
But the truth is, someone who is more of a sensitive nature, you could imagine what happens is when you have an impression, right? Don't we all get impressions? But what if you start thinking those impressions are voices from God? Well, after a while, every idea you have becomes another voice.
Right.
So that's all dangerous. But let me suggest a couple of things. The Westminster Confession of Faith, which many Calvinists point to as kind of the standard of their faith, had three legs of assurance. And they said the three legs were the objective promises of God in Scripture to the believer.
Yeah.
And then two subjective legs, Romans 8:16, the inner witness of the Spirit.
Okay.
And the works which the Spirit does in our lives. And they said the inner witness is subjective and the works are subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, though, there was a split among the leaders of the Puritan branch of the Reformation because some of them thought there were only two witnesses, the works and the promises. And they saw the inner witness of the Spirit as the works we do. And that's the way the Spirit witnessed.
Okay.
But they came up with this compromise with three because the ones who said there were only two understood Romans 8:16 to be just part of the works idea. But either way, whatever you're talking about is not objective. The objective promises of God became subjective because in Calvinism, you don't know if you really believe.
Right.
Because you don't know who Christ died for. Did he die for me? I don't know. Did he elect me? I don't know. And what is saving faith? They also have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Because for them, faith was some sort of response that was a gift from God. It was more than just believing doctrine. It was something that was a gift from God that separated true faith from false faith.
So two people can believe the same thing, but only the person with the gift faith would be saved.
Right. And the gift of faith is not being convinced that certain things are true. The gift of faith is some sort of volitional response, emotional response, something that is mysterious to them.
It's understanding, assent, and trust. And then the trust is often expanded to include all kinds of different things.
And so you're on a real slippery slope. So I would say to Chad, are there Calvinists who are certain of their eternal destiny? Yeah, there are some, but it's a small number. But for most Calvinists, assurance is not certainty, right?
Right.
Assurance is some degree of confidence.
It's the gospel of doubt, really. You know, the doctrine of election and perseverance is part of the problem. The way they defined faith is another part of the problem. The way they look towards assurance is another part of the problem. But you said you were going to explain what Romans 8:16
Okay, so Romans 8:16, in the New King James translation, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. The way that the Calvinist understands this is the Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirit. But with our spirit would mean that these are two witnesses. And by the way, the Greek is sum martyreo. It's the sum prefix, and the verb martyreo means to bear witness with. Now, Dan Wallace, who's a grammarian, he argues that this means it heightens the sense of martyreo, and it means it's a really strong witness to us.
Okay.
I would suggest that's absolutely wrong, that it's bearing witness with us, and it fits the Old Testament concept that it takes two witnesses to confirm a matter.
Okay.
And the context is prayer. What Paul is saying is whenever we pray, Abba, Father, there's two witnesses to the Father that we're really the children of God, the Holy Spirit and our human spirit. So when we pray, our Father who art in heaven, the Holy Spirit's saying, yes, this is one of our children. Mm-hmm. And our human spirit is saying, yes, I'm a child of God.
Okay.
But that's not for assurance. That's for prayer, and it's not something we're even aware of. We're not aware of the witness of the Spirit as we pray, and we're not aware of the witness of our human spirit as we pray.
All right. So it's not really a verse that's going to support your personal assurance of salvation.
Or let's put it this way. If you want to lose assurance of eternal life, start looking to your feelings.
Right.
Or listening for voices.
Right.
That's the best way to not be sure.
Yeah.
Or look at your works.
Yeah.
Best way not to be sure. I've often said, get in an argument with your wife, how big is your assurance now?
Right.
Well, it should still be certain because my assurance is not based on whether I'm living a righteous life or not.
Yeah. What about whether someone is spiritually mature? How does someone know if they're spiritually mature?
Well, now what we're dealing with is something that is subjective. We're not dealing with objective, like, am I praying every day? Am I reading the Bible every day? Those are objective things I can say yes or no to.
Yeah.
But what we're dealing with is, am I walking in the light of God's Word? 1 John 1:7. Am I confessing my sins? 1 John 1:9. Well,
those are objective, right? I mean,
they're somewhat objective. So if I'm attending church and I'm confessing my sins, I think in that sense I can say, yes, I am in fellowship with God. But what I can't say is to what degree I am pleasing God. Because we know, for example, in the parable of the minas, the first guy gets well done in 10 cities.
Yeah.
Second guy gets no well done in 5 cities. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, I don't judge before the time. So it seems to me we can't keep a notebook. Let's see, I did this good work today and this good work today and this good work today, and that means I'm going to be the 10-city guy. Yes, there are some objective things in terms of confessing our sins, walking in the light, but in terms of how well we're doing, no, we can't know that. And also, I think confessing sins is not some sort of magic formula devoid of the heart involvement. Confession of sins works 1 John 1:7 as I walk in the light. Okay. So I can't just admit my sins and then I'm in fellowship with God, even if I'm walking intentionally away from God.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chad, that's what we'd say to Spurgeon and to that verse. I mean, you can have assurance of salvation, just like you said, in fact, in your question. It comes from simply believing his promise of eternal life. Jesus said, whoever believes has everlasting life. So if you believe, what do you have? You have everlasting
Amen.
Life.
That's right.
You have it now. It's a present reality for you, and it's one and done. Everlasting life is everlasting, and your eternal salvation is settled the second that you believe. And that's what assurance is, believing that.
Amen.
Send your questions to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about fellowship with God. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.